Dr. Catherine Roams. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
All right. Thanks, first of all, for sending me this email. I know a lot of times people send me things and, you know, say, gosh, I don't want to be pushy or this or that, but I always appreciate the ideas, especially this one, because this was a great thing to talk about. I'm so glad to have you on. So, Humana Vitae, let's start off with the basics. You've done, what, 5 years of research, a lot of research on it. You're a bit of an expert on it. what is Humana Vitae for those who may not have ever read it or maybe they're hearing about it for the first time?
All right. Well, Humanae Vitae is an encyclical that was put out by Paul VI in 1968. And among other things, it speaks out against artificial contraception. So it is consistent with and solidifies the teaching that was articulated in Vatican II,
mm-hmm.
and it really represents the enduring and lasting teaching of the Church, which is that that artificial contraception is not a proper part of married life.
And when it came out in 1968, this is in the middle of the sexual revolution. Everything was going kind of topsy-turvy in the culture and, you know, the time of Woodstock and free love and, a lot of stuff going on in the culture. And it was not well received by most people within the Church and outside the Church. Extremely controversial. Mm-hmm. At the time. So tell us a little bit more about that in the context of the time that it came out.
Yeah. So when what happened was Paul VI had put together a commission. Actually, John the 23rd was the first person who assembled the commission, and then it carried on and grew through the work of Paul VI. And the commission was comprised of clergy as well as laity, and they were investigating this issue of artificial contraception given the times.
Mm-hmm.
And the commission's report concluded that artificial contraception should be allowed, at least in some cases, in married life. And that commission's report and its findings or conclusion was leaked in a couple of different countries, and the U.S. was one of those countries. And so the bishops, the clergy, and the laity expected and understood in their minds wrongly, but they believed that the Pope was about to announce mm-hmm. officially that that artificial contraception would be allowed. And so, to use a metaphor, the train had already left the station
mm-hmm.
when Paul VI, almost 2 years later, issued his encyclical on this topic, and he went against the commission's conclusion.
Yeah.
And he said, no, artificial contraception is not allowed. But it created, it was very, very poorly received by the USCCB and by the mainstream Catholic Church. The regular parish, the average parish in the United States had already made the turn, so to speak. And so it created a lot of discord.
And I have heard that there was this cardinal, I don't know if he was a cardinal or an archbishop at the time, named Kirill Wojtyła, who had a big influence on the Pope at the time. Of course, that's the future John Paul II, now canonized saint. Do we know about that? I know a lot of things happen behind closed doors and they don't issue everything. But what influence did John Paul II, pre-Pope, have on this?
My understanding is that Kirill Wojtyła was very interested in this topic, but he was in Poland, and given political pressures and problems, he was not actually allowed to be in Rome at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was coaching or influencing or trying to convey his strong opinions from afar to Paul VI. So he had been a very strong supporter of the conclusion that Paul VI mm-hmm. did make in Humanae Vitae.
Yeah, because, of course, the Holy Spirit is guiding it all, but there's always a human element, and the Holy Spirit can use humans. I just wondered, I think mm-hmm. probably Carol Wojtyła had a pretty big influence. Our phone number is 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. If you'd like to ask a question or talk about this, my guest is Dr. Catherine Roames. She is a professor of philosophy and at University of Dallas. And by the way, I have been speaking to several people at different universities and colleges where we broadcast, and I really want to make this a regular part of the program of bringing on academics and people who are experts in particular fields from, you know, universities in San Antonio and Houston and D.C. There's a lot of great minds out there, and so Dr. Roames being one of them, and so I appreciate her being here. 877-757-9424. Now, one of the things that's often talked about with Humanae Vitae is the prophetic nature of it. You know, people say, well, Pope Paul VI predicted certain things that would happen in the future, and boy, they've all come true. Mm-hmm. Well, talk about that.
Well, it is remarkable. One reason why I believe that Humanae Vitae was prophetic, there are many. Mm-hmm. First of all, it put a certain break, so to speak, on the Catholic participation in the sexual revolution, as you referenced earlier. And another reason why I think it's prophetic is that the teaching made it prohibited Catholics to use the pill, which had just come out at that time. At the time that the pill was released and made available to the public, scientists did not know that it was abortifacient.
Mm-hmm.
And that discovery was made after the fact.
Yeah.
And it was made after the fact of Humanae Vitae.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is my personal opinion, but I believe that the Holy Spirit protected countless Catholics from unknowingly
yeah.
aborting
right.
by through the hand of Paul VI.
And there was there a direct prediction of divorce and disrespect towards women, pornography, abortion? Were those exact words used? I mean, was I've heard that where, you know, he predicts that, you know, you're going to have a divorce culture, you're going to have an abortion culture. I don't know if he used those words, but he definitely made some predictions about what might happen. And as we look at the landscape of the culture right now, and maybe that might be a better way to look at it. Look at what's going on. You cannot pick up a newspaper. Not that anybody picks up newspapers these days. You can't look at a website. Let's just say that without seeing now it's Sly Stallone. Now, you know, it's Al Franken. It's, you know, Bill Cosby, Bill O'Reilly. And it's just every day this, the sexual revolution, the results of it are playing out in the news.
They are. And I think that so many of us, those Catholics who embrace and love the teaching of Humanae Vitae, see the prophetic nature of that encyclical in that it draws a direct link between contraception and then these other evils. And we believe that contraception is the gateway mm-hmm. to so many other terrible things that have become so prevalent in our culture.
So, you know, people like us would say, well, under these circumstances, why would anybody be talking about a commission to overrule mm-hmm. the prohibition of contraception, because mm-hmm. that caused the problem in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Edward Penton's article in National Catholic Register seems to indicate that exact mm-hmm. thing, that recent developments in Rome indicate a campaign is underway to challenge the encyclical's prohibition of artificial contraception. So what do we know to be true about this possible commission that's looking at this issue again?
Okay, well, the commission is rather secretive, so we don't know much. But what many of the news sources that I've seen have said, say it a little bit differently than the National Catholic Register article. Many of the news sources that I've seen quote Pope Francis at other times in his pontificate saying, the teaching of the church is never going to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
The teaching against artificial contraception is the lasting, enduring teaching of the church. This is the Catholic view, and that is not going to change. So I think what But what the commission seems to have been called to do is to consider the possibility of pastoral considerations under extreme circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
If there are extreme circumstances under which the teaching, while still holding, would just be imperfectly lived out because of those extreme
yeah.
circumstances. So I think that that's my understanding, Dave, is that that's the limit of what, there's no talk of overturning it or changing the church's teaching. It's just a question of the allowance of pastoral provisions. Even that, however, causes a lot of confusion
yeah.
or just a lot of questions among many Catholics. I'm very understanding of that. And so if I may say, my way of responding to that, because I have those questions too, I have lots of questions, and since we know so little, we may be confused about this. My way of responding to that is that as a layperson who lives out and embraces and loves the teaching, I think it's a good time for Catholics such as us to promote and show the beauty of Catholic family life under the guidance of Humanae Vitae. I feel like it's a good time for those of us who see its beauty to speak up. I'm a philosopher, as you know, and in the philosophy of Thomas Aquinas, the true, the good, and the beautiful are transcendentals. So
mm-hmm.
they're convertible with one another. So that which is true is also good. That which is true is also beautiful. And that speaks to me in terms of the teaching of this particular teaching of the church, that it is true that the meaning of sexuality is that it is procreative and unitive. That
mm-hmm.
is what sexuality is. And if you separate those, you no longer have the essence of sexuality. It's not what it really is.
Yeah.
It's a malformation of it, or an inferior version, a distortion of what it is in its essence. And, so I believe that that's the truth. And I believe that that truth is really beautiful. And if I look at your family, it is such a beautiful family. And if you and I think together of so many of the families that we know, these families are living out such a beautiful life. And it's hard and it's difficult sometimes because it's a cruciform life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenging life. We are picking up our cross and following Jesus, and yet we're happy because we're living close to him and we're living in conformity with him. So I think it's just a really good time in our church, especially because, as you know, the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae is next year. So there's going to be, it's in the news a little bit now, but it's really going to be in the news a lot. And so I think it's time for Catholics who love Humanae Vitae and live under its guidance to start rallying, speaking up, thinking about how they can make their voice heard, because we're the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a big part of the faithful, and it's important that other Catholics and then the world at large hears Catholics say, we love Humanae Vitae.
Yes. Phone number 877-757-9424. If you're just tuning in, this is GRN Live. We're broadcasting across the Guadalupe Radio Network this morning. My name is Dave Palmer. My guest is Dr. Catherine Romes. She is a professor of philosophy at the University of Dallas. She and her husband, Ron, have 6 children. And she had sent me an article from the National Catholic Register. Edwin Penton had written called Humanae Vitae Comes Under Fire. Recent developments in Rome indicate a campaign is underway to challenge the encyclical's prohibition against artificial contraception, and there is talk of a 4-person commission that's been set up to kind of relook at the pastoral dimensions of Humanae Vitae, and that's what we're talking about this morning. So just a few minutes remaining if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, 877-757-9424. Now, I sometimes can be very black and white about these, and I think like with abortion, it's always wrong. I think the church is very clear on that. There's never an excuse for abortion. I'm thinking, come on, let's just do that with artificial contraception and be done with it. But the church hasn't quite done that. And I know you have done some study on the hierarchy of you know, teachings of the church. Where exactly does this fit in that hierarchy of how, you know, like I just want somebody to say, okay, that it's never going to change. This is a rule, and you know, let's not talk about this. It's like three persons in the Trinity. We're not going to add a fourth. We're not going to take one away. This is, you know, but I know that those are very different levels of teaching. So where does this fit in?
Right. Well, there's dogma. And dogma does not change, and you cannot be Catholic and deny a dogma. So the incarnation, the resurrection, the Immaculate Conception, these are dogma of the church, and we can't be Catholic without accepting them, and they will never change. They're eternal truths. There are other truths that are matters of faith and morals that are binding and that are seen to be derivative of dogmas. And an example of that would be abortion being intrinsically evil. There's a third level, which is that there are certain teachings that are binding because the church is teaching them right now, but they are fallible and revisable. And there are many examples of that in the history of the Catholic Church. I could give a couple right now, but basically the situation with artificial contraception, there's controversy over mm-hmm. where that fits in. And I understand that there are different perspectives. I happen to believe that if what has been leaked so far, which is that the commission that Pope Francis has put together is seeking to consider possible pastoral considerations, but is not seeking to change the teaching. In fact, that would cement it on that higher second level, which is up there with abortion. It would be saying that I'm hoping, I mean, this is maybe optimistic, but my hope is that by the end of the 50th anniversary celebration of Humanae Vitae in 2018, because I would just say that up until now, there have been theologians and historians and academics and bishops who have said things like, I'm not sure if this teaching of Humanae Vitae is being received mm-hmm. by the faithful. And of course, there's such a large percentage of Catholics who don't adhere to it and do not practice it. It is not a majority held view teaching.
Edward Penton actually talks about one poll that was done in, I think, third world countries, and like 74% of the people that were polled do not, you know, they like contraception. And I'm thinking like, well, okay, but, you know, doesn't mean it's right. All right, so just wrapping this up, you're writing a book. Is this going to play a part in it? I know it might be a good time to release it next year on the anniversary. Is that the plans? Or how is this, because your specialization is motherhood, how is this going to all tie into what you study and what you're going to be writing about?
Yeah, well, thanks. I don't have a publisher yet. I'm still doing in the final stages of editing. I have been working on it for about 5 years. And my interest is to celebrate the church's teaching, as declared in Humanae Vitae, because I feel like Humanae Vitae, its teaching is a way in which lay people get to be a sign of contradiction in the world, as John Paul II coined the term.
Mm-hmm.
When I see a nun walking down the street, I just want to say, God bless you. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, you know, she's a sign of contradiction in the times.
Yes.
And likewise, when I see one of my friends walking in public in the grocery store and she has seven little children trailing behind her, that's sort of like her nun's habit flowing in the wind, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
her way of being a sign of contradiction. And you know, Dave, I have a lot of friends who struggle with fertility and do not have seven children.
Right,
maybe
right.
they have had no birth children and have adopted two. They are a sign of contradiction too.
Even
they,
a desire for children. I know people that have, 7, 8 kids and they are so eager to have their next one. Or,
yes.
like you say, somebody who doesn't have any children but talk about how much they want a child.
They want that.
That's a sign of contradiction.
It is. And it may not be as obvious to a stranger on the street, but in the mystical body of Christ, they are still saying yes to openness to life and to the beauty of children being the crowning of marriage.
Yeah.
And the time has come, I think, to proclaim the way in which openness to life helps the Catholic layperson be live a cruciform life and live a life that is strongly signaling to the secular culture, openness to life is the right way to be. And God blesses those who are open to life.
Yeah, very nice. Dr. Catherine Rome, thank you so much. Out of time. The website is CatholicMothersRetreat.com. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
CatholicMothersRetreat.com. Mighty is her call. Book not released yet, but look for it next year. So thank you very much for coming in. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Dave.